Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samani Tilamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Navasesa Samyavati Piskati Desatari. Now is our time for, as the sign says, transcendental questions. But we're going to do it in a little bit of a different way. We'll ask you to write your questions down. Now, who has the pens and the paper there? There's some pens. If you have your own pen and paper, you can write it down, and you can put your question in the transcendental question basket. Anyone have a question or something? You can just take a piece of paper, but only transcendental questions. No questions about which stocks are going to go up on the stock market, because we don't know. And transcendental questions have the special quality of being glorious in and of itself. How do we know that? Who said so? Sukadeva Goswami said, your question itself is glorious. What was his question? What is the duty of all persons at all times and circumstances, especially about one who is about to die? All those who are not about to die, raise your hand. But maybe a little later for some of us, but it's inevitable. I mean, it's such a in one sense, it's a terrifying thought, but another sense, it's an accurate thought that causes some humility to take place in the heart when we consider that, probably speaking, 100 years from now, out of all these 6-point-some-odd billion people who are on the earth, 100 years from now, out of the 600 billion people who are alive at this point and walking around, etc., or just newborn, how many of them will still be alive? How many of us will still be alive? Well, did you say 9? Or none? There might be 9, there might be 129, but not very many. So the question of what should I do between now and then, how can I point my life, considering practically who I am and what my capacity is, etc., how can I point my life in such a way that when my time comes, I'll be as ready as I possibly can be? Another way to put it, many people ask the question, is there life after death? And we also ask the question, is there life after birth for most people? It's just, what is it? What does it mean, their life after birth? It doesn't mean very much. It's just filling up the space and trying to enjoy this and manipulate this and push this away and pull that towards one. And then when it's time to go, it just adds up to a zero. I notice there are no transcendental questions in the transcendental question basket, which will keep me talking but not answering questions. Okay, write down your transcendental questions. If you want to write your name and say who it's from, you can do that. If you don't want to, you can also do that. But I warn you that, well, I won't say out loud what I'm going to warn you of, but I still have more tricks in my sleeves. Where's the basket's gone? Not a, should bring it back so I can begin. And then we could put the... Okay. Now, here's the first transcendental question. Well, that... Okay. Now, you can... The questions can still keep going in there. The question is, what is the appropriate time to complete our one japa round? How long should it take to chant one round? That's the question. Now, here's the first trick that I have up my sleeve. Good question. Is that here on this, in this other transcendental basket, we have the names of all the devotees who are here. And I've been working so hard this weekend that I'm going to ask someone else to answer the question. Okay, but without any discrimination, of course, you don't know if I'm really reading the name or not. I can just say, Abhishek, it's you every time. Funny. But this one is Rohit Thakur Prabhu. And I'll help. Who is Rohit Thakur? Okay. The question is for you, by the way. What is the appropriate time it takes to... What's an appropriate time? And I'll help, and I'll ask other devotees too. But how? What is the appropriate time for completing one round?
From my initial experience, I think 7 to 10 minutes.
Okay. 7 to 10. What makes the difference between you completing a round in 7 minutes or 10 minutes? Huh?
3 minutes.
That's really good. I like that one. I'll remember that. Thank you. No, wait. What makes the difference? I mean, consider this. Is it that more tired, less tired, more attentive, less attentive, or just the beads are bigger or something like that? So the more attentive you are, I'll save this one.
No, that's a general one.
Okay. Vedic Emperor has esoteric questions also. Is it when you chant more attentively it's 10 minutes or more attentively it's 7 minutes? Okay. Then when after you've chanted a while, it takes more time or less time? Okay. But why is that? Maybe, but maybe you do pay attention. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. I very much appreciate you helping with us. I know that Prabhupada, at one time, he said that 16 rounds, 2 hours at most. One time he said that, which comes to how many minutes around?
7.5.
Wow. 7.5 minutes around. Sometimes, for myself, I find that it takes me longer to chant around than that, and sometimes it takes me less, personally. I find that when I'm tired and I'm inattentive, it tends to take longer. Tends to be like that. And when I'm able to hear and it's going quite smoothly for myself, more than 6 minutes. And I find also that it takes time for my mind to get in gear before it can understand what the issue really is. Because my mind will tend to wander everywhere and think about so many important things, essential things, while I'm chanting. Essential things other than to listen. And what I'm learning to do is tell my mind, very, very good. But now you should please just hear one name and one mantra, all one mantra. And I find that it's actually quite effective, because as soon as my mind starts hearing the holy name, then the taste for that increases. Of course, we'll tend to jump off into outer space and be pulled by the passionate intelligence. It will tend to do that. And the mind, which is born out of the mode of goodness combined with what? False ego. And the mode of goodness the mind is born out of, it will tend to get carried away by the intelligence, which is born of a combination of the mode of passion and false ego. And then once the passionate mode starts going, so difficult to pull it back. So difficult. So it's best to not let, to give passion a full scope to pull us far, far away. It is best not to let passion increase. So as soon as we notice that the mind is going, then we should remember, be detached, and pull the mind back, yuto nishchalati, and be quite determined to just hear. And then, when we hear, everything changes. There's a tendency to think, from my experience, that if I chant attentively, it's going to take longer. But at least theoretically, there's no reason why it should take longer to chant an attentive round and longer than an inattentive round, because you still have to say the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, that's more questions than we're going to have time for, I can tell, but we'll see. Okay. So anyone else would like to say how much time does it take them to chant on the average, and what they consider a good chanting time? Anyone like to say for them? Yes, Murali Lokabu.
I feel that whatever time it takes to pronounce it correctly and hear it properly, for each individual it varies.
No, for you.
For me it takes about 7 minutes.
Okay. Very good. Oh, and I found, if you find that your chanting is taking you like 10 minutes around, I finally figured out the cure for that. Chant faster. Because what happens if it takes too long, 10 minutes, 12 minutes around, it becomes very impractical and difficult to chant our rounds and do our other duties during the day. So you have to chant faster, but anyone else like to say thank you? Good answer. Yes. Yes, Paul? Chandrasekhar, Paul? No. Answer to this particular question. What is a good, when you're chanting properly and attentively, how long does it take you to, what's a good?
About 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Can you utter it improperly, though? I mean, in the sense of...
I can't start rolling. I can't even utter the name. Hare also doesn't come properly. It comes Hare, not Hare.
Hare Baba? Okay.
Like yesterday it happened to me. Before 7 o'clock yesterday, I could complete 30 rounds, but the rest of the 34 rounds took almost about 5.5 hours. I was struggling to...
It sounds like you should get up very early. Yeah. See, if this is something that's very hard to accept. But if we should line up our life so that our life is harmonious with our spiritual advancement. To do whatever it takes to do that takes full surrender and sincerity. Because it's not easy to do that, because the material nature will resist. But if we are very determined that my life is meant for one thing, then I will do what is required to do that. Okay, next transcendental question. Krishna Gurudev Prabhu, could you pick the transcendental question? Just in case people think that I'm just choosing very hard ones, and then I'm going to let someone else pick the name too, just to make sure that I'm keep myself honest, which isn't easy. Okay. No, just they don't know that I'm really reading the question. They think I might be just saying what I want to ask. I'm making believe. Yeah, you read the question.
If Lord Krishna has invested all his potency in his holy names, and the holy name is everything one needs to attain, pure love for Krishna, what is the need for all other aspects of bhakti, initiation, guru, deity worship, and studying sastra?
Oh. What is the need? And then we'll just pick one at random. Radha Charan. Oh. No. Actually, it's Gigyesh Vyas Prabhu. Where is Gigyesh? Where? Yes, Prabhu. You understand the question? Why don't you ask the fellow sitting behind you and see if he can help? Directly behind you, who you have your back to. Prabhu, why don't you give us some hints on this very tricky question? Yeah, or an answer. Yes. This question, thank you very much.
There is, however, sometimes still the question that some devotees ask, what is, if Lord Chaitanya has given the holy name freely to everyone and anyone, anywhere in the world, it is not a secret to get the Maha Mantra, then what is the need of a spiritual master to chant Hare Krishna?
So this question is asked and answered in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, in the teachings, I think it's to Sanatana Goswami, where specifically it is said by Mahaprabhu that the holy name is so powerful it is not dependent on initiation. And then Srila Prabhupada's purport to their answers that question quite thoroughly. And the point is that two basic points. One, as Radhacharan Prabhu was said, that how to chant the holy name. One needs to learn how to chant it properly and offenselessly. And these other items of devotional service, they teach us and support us in our chanting of the holy name. So how to chant in an offenseless way with pure love, which will award all positive results, comes through association with sadhus and taking initiation from a spiritual master, etc. So these are part of the process. But yet it's undoubtedly true that if one already knows everything, one can just chant Hare Krishna and gain it, and gain the pure objective. But yet it is not recommended, it is not in the path. That's a glorification of the holy name, but it is not a complete explanation of the process. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in other words, the holy name is so powerful it can give everything. that's glorifying the holy name, but to practically take up the proper chanting of the holy name, one needs guidance. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that so many of the problems within the amongst the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many of the problems have come due to a misunderstanding of this point. That people chant Krishna's names but without understanding the proper process of chanting the holy name and the process and the proper tattva, the truth about the transcendental path, and they end up concocting so many incorrect understandings of what the Shastra conclusions are, and they end up being sahajiyas, they end up being this, they end up being that, and they end up getting themselves into so much trouble. All I need is the holy names, and therefore I don't have to follow any principles at all. All I need is the holy names. I can act in the mode of ignorance, taking alcohol, carrying on illicit connections with members of the opposite, because all I need is the holy name. But if one wants the effect of the holy name, one has to have one's consciousness in a completely receptive mood. Then all one needs is the holy name. So what is the receptivity to the mercy of the holy name? What is the qualification for someone who can gain the benefit of the holy name, the full benefit, and take full advantage? This is learned in Shastra, and this is learned by the association of the devotees, and this is learned by taking diksha or initiation and shiksha in the proper line. One can say, that I don't have to worry about money. Or one makes the statement, if one knows Bill Gates, one doesn't need to worry about money. You can get everything from Bill Gates, but how to get even $1 from him is another thing. One has to know the process. One has to be very qualified, perhaps. Anyway, that's how I would answer this. The point is receptivity. The name is ready to give everything. But what's my qualification for taking? For accepting the mercy? This is the question. And what is the path for becoming qualified to accept everything from the holy name? The holy name is independent. But how to evoke the mercy from the supreme independent? By avoiding the desires of the complete independent? How to get the mercy from the complete independent? He can give everything. He's the transcendental autocrat. He can give everything. But how to get him to evoke his compassion and kindness so that he does give us everything? So that we have to learn. And that we have to learn very deeply. How to serve the holy name. How to become a servant and stop looking at the holy name even as the object of our enjoyment. How to become a servant, not because we attempt, just like, you know, if I said, raise your hand if you'd like to go back to go to Goloka Vrindavan and be there eternally with Krishna, everyone will raise their hand, certainly. But what would we do there? You know, we'd bring out cameras and mix and want to tape record everything and ask Krishna when we're there, ask Krishna which stocks are going to go up or something like that. You know, things like we were joking about before. We can't go, actually speaking, with our false ego or our desires, because everyone in Goloka Vrindavan is in a full agreement on the point that Krishna is the center. That we are all meant for Krishna's pleasure. So that same attitude of fully surrendered service is brought to the holy name. And then undoubtedly, as Krishna can give us everything, the holy name, none different from Krishna, will give us everything. But a lot has to do with my attitude of what he'll give or what he won't give. Or what I can digest, what I can take, what I can accept. So to mold the attitude into a pure loving consciousness is the purpose of all the other angas of devotion, including and primary Ado Guru Padasraya, accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. So if we are in the mood, well, I'm going to just go to the holy name and I'm going to avoid everything else that Krishna has said, then will our false ego tends, I don't need anything else, it generally will mean our false ego is prohibiting us from actually getting the result that the holy name is ready to give us, ready, willing and able to give us. But are we ready to take it? Is our receptivity and consciousness right? So that's... Anyway, and also, Prabhu, what, tell me again your name, the person whose name that we picked first. Yes, Prabhu, that was such a nice answer you gave, actually. A very hard one that to escape the mouth is, I don't know. And if you don't believe me, how hard it is to escape the mouth. Go ask anyone for directions when you're in Delhi. Oh, you go this way, two blocks this way, and they have no idea where it is. But that, I don't know. It's a very, very simple. Thank you for that too, and thank you for a nice question, not an easy one. Did you want to add something?
We're all conditioned souls. To entirely depend on the holy name, we should chant like Namachar Haridas Thakur entirely. So, otherwise, we can't. That's what my understanding is. Well, that's why we need other processes and the Guru.
Like, to chant like Haridas Thakur means? What do you mean? Continuously.
Continuously, yeah. And with that mood.
And Prabhupada put it.
The taste for,
and Prabhupada gave us a very simple formula that is very easy to understand too. That chant like a baby crying for mother means with that intensity and sincerity, I want the service of Krishna. But that's the point. What do we want? The baby is very clear what he or she wants. Mother. And won't accept anything else. And when we say, Krishna, I only want you. And Krishna tends to say, oh, really? Let's see. Let's see what you really want. And with Haridas Thakur, it was clear what he really wanted. Ramachandra Khan sent a prostitute to him in the dead of the night. I was recently listening to Prabhupada speak about this. And his mind was completely fixed. There was no self-centered enjoying spirit in him. There was no false ego in him. And his consciousness was so amazing that Maya Devi herself came and tested him to see how fixed he was. That, who am I? I am Krishna's. And Krishna is mine. I have no other sense of self other than I am Krishna's servant. We all have a feeling of existence and that we are someone. And these great devotees have no other sense of self or of existence other than being Krishna's and being meant for Krishna's pleasure. This is wonderful. This is so wonderful that Maya herself tested Thakur Haridas. And she ended up with all respect and reverence for this great soul who was completely given to Krishna. In complete humility, he did not waver. So for Thakur Haridas, the holy names are everything. Thank you. Now, Abhishek Prabhu, you pick a question. Now, don't pick one just from the top. Just, you know, close your eyes. Don't look. You know, get one where the energy really is attracting you to pick one. Okay, now you read it. And yes,
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, if that was directed to me.
How to remain conscious of this attentive chanting even after weeks or months of this japa retreat, because I feel that quite often we tend to forget after some time. There's an end, and should I read that today? Guru Gauranga Krishnadas.
Did you read louder because your father told you to read louder? But he was just couldn't hear. Yes? You weren't evoking father's authority. You just wanted to hear. Yeah. Where is it? Since I have the microphone, I'll read it. But now you have to pick the name too. Now you have to read the name. Question is, how to remain conscious, but don't, now that we've glorified someone who said, I don't know, no, it's already been done. And we made our point with that, so if you say, I don't know, I'll say, well, try anyway. How to remain conscious of this attempt to do attentive, and just answer from your own experience what your practical realization is. How to remain conscious of the attempt to do attentive chanting even after weeks or months of this japa retreat, because I feel that quite often we tend to forget after some time. In other words, the mind, I remember to chant attentively and then I remember for some time and then the mind wanders again. So how to become perfect in this? What's your understanding?
By chanting regularly.
Like chanting regularly, more
attentively, offensively.
Yeah. In other words, that we have to practice. We have to practice. We have to practice and practice and try and try. And the mind will still do it. Still run. And then, I've tried really sincerely my best. And then what happens? We don't do it perfectly, by any means. And then what's the next thing that happens? What happens? You're trying your best and you can't do it perfectly. You've improved, but you can't do it perfectly. You've taken your one step. Then you have, but before you get mercy, there has to be an intermediate step. Yeah, humility. I can't do it by myself. As long as we have pride, which is the opposite of humility, thinking, yes, I can do it, then Krishna thinks, well, he doesn't need my help. He already can do it. So then, at some point, we become humble and realize this is beyond my capacity. And then we pray to Krishna very sincerely for him to help us. And then as he so desires, he solves this problem. And Srila Bhakti, if I could find the quotation right here. Srila Bhakti said unto Saraswati Thakur, I'll just read one comment and then there's another one on this point. He says, remain in this place and chant the holy name in a regular fashion, which was your answer. You practice. Read the Chaitanya Bhagavad and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Become more enthusiastic and purified. Mahaprabhu is particularly merciful to those who are humble in mind and who consider themselves incapable, because then they take shelter of him. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, and I don't have the quotation in here, unfortunately, but he says that it is impossible to cure distraction of the mind by one's own power. But that doesn't mean we should try. We shouldn't try. We should do our part of the prasram, of the hard work. And then try to attract Krishna's mercy in that way. Okay, another question.
Can I ask a question related to that? It's in the same vein.
She's like my daughter, what can I say? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, well, Prabhupada answered that question in Melbourne Town Hall in 1975 when one devotee, a person who I had never seen before, and he asked, he wasn't an initiated devotee or anything like that, maybe he had been chanting, but I had never seen him before. He asked Prabhupada, how can we become sincere? And Prabhupada replied with a question, how could you become a drunkard? Just associate with drunkards and they'll be talking and talking and talking about how wonderful drinking alcohol is, etc., etc., and you'll think, hey, maybe I should try this. And then he said, because obviously he didn't want everyone to associate with drunkards, there was a different point he was making. He said, if you want to become sincere, then associate with those who are sincere. And then he said, he pointed to the devotees, associate with them. So, to help us in this, what I think would be a really nice thing to do, that once every 2 weeks or something like that, or amongst your friends or amongst your family, just have an hour devoted to japa and attentive chanting, and remind yourself that what I'm supposed to be doing, read a little from this japa book or read something from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and just remember the simple thing, remind yourself to try to listen, to try to hear one mantra. So once every few weeks, once a week, with your friends in your Namahata groups or in the temple or something, just do this simple thing. Find people who are sincerely trying to chant attentively, and ask them. That's another thing. You know, how are you doing with your rounds? And can you give me any advice on chanting? So become fixed in what you want, and Krishna will help. Is that okay? I personally think it would be so nice if to do this with either in the temple, just, you know, once every 2 weeks or something like that, or once a month, just devotees get together and just chant together and just remind yourself that this is here. It doesn't take a lot, just to sit, and it's so nice to sit with the devotees who are, this was my experience sitting with the devotees when they were intently and sincerely chanting and trying to hear. It was so uplifting, and that gives me the strength that will carry me to the next japa retreat when I have to like tell everyone to listen. Yeah, because you're right. The person asked the question, but tendency will go to forget. It's so nice, and we go out with full enthusiasm, and then the rest of life tends to take over. But that's why when I wrote this, I tried to make it something very simple and practical, something we could do. Just keep these four simple principles in mind and keep that as the foundational level of our chanting. Just try to hear one mantra. Just be determined about that. And again, without determination, nothing happens. And with determination, Krishna reciprocates very quickly. And try and try again. We won't be successful perfectly until Krishna says, here, here's your success. And be detached. So simple in one sense. Okay. No, we have to go to the other questions, otherwise. Are you from Bombay? Bombay people always do that. Just 1 minute, just one thing. I can understand why, because if you're from Bombay, if you don't fight, you don't even get on a bus. Or not to speak of a train. You know, it's a struggle to get there, but this is something a little different. Okay, next question. Oh, it's a long one. Yesterday we saw in Ajamil's pastime how the Lord sends the Vishnu Dutas, even though Ajamil didn't chant attentively. He was just calling his son. On the other hand, we see Maharaj Bharat's pastime, who had to take birth as a deer, even though he was almost on the Baba platform. Lord didn't send his Dutas. How do we understand both these pastimes, and what is the hope for us sadhakas?
Very
interesting question. The first, we'll talk about the Ajamil pastime, that he was chanting very attentively. His mind was focused on his son, whose name was Narayan, but he was chanting attentively with full focused mind on Narayana. So it wasn't that he was chanting inattentively at all. And that's the namabhas, the focused mind. There was no aparad in his chanting. There was no pramada. There was a full focusing of the mind. And therefore he got such a wonderful result. And then Bharat Maharaj, he was completely inattentive at the time of his death to his spiritual practices. He was thinking of his very dear deer. The deer was so dear to him. But by Krishna's mercy, it wasn't that he was neglected, even though the Vishnu Dutas didn't come, but he wasn't neglected. He took his birth as a deer because, what's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, sadatat. Sada means always, what you're thinking of. You take that. So he took his next birth as a deer, but it wasn't that Krishna just neglected him. You know, you lived your whole life Krishna conscious, that you gave up everything to attain this, and now you, at the last moment, you didn't remember me, and therefore you just have to become a deer and that's it. You know, he didn't like pull out the rule book and say, I said in the Bhagavad Gita, many years in the 8th chapter. No, he wasn't like that at all, because he's so dear to his devotees and his devotees, because his, so what he did was gave the deer full remembrance of his past life. So he was very, very, the deer didn't lose anything, but rather he had gained something. And what was the thing that he had gained? What often do we, when we touch fire and get severely burned, we can think in terms of, I really lost something, I lost my peaceful, the peaceful finger. But what do we gain? No, you said, I heard the first word, what was the word that you said? Never. Never will I do this again and make this same foolish mistake. Never again. When that determination comes in the mind, never again, then it's there. Not, well, I probably, perhaps, shouldn't maybe do this again because I have so much attachment to the pleasure of the hand in the fire, too. So, but then that brings another question. So he took his birth as a deer, and Krishna didn't neglect him at all. But what happened at the end of Bharat Maharaj's life as a deer? Does anyone remember? Huh? I can't hear. No, that didn't happen at the end of his life. That happened at the beginning of his next life. He went, yes, but that wasn't at the end. He went. And then what happened? He passed away. Yes, that certainly happened at the end of his life. But it doesn't show that you carefully read and remember what was said at the end of when he passed away, is he recited some prayers. Does anyone remember that? No. He recited some very, very powerful prayers of like lamentation. Oh, Krishna, you know, I've done this and now I want to focus my mind fully on you. Something fully, very deep, wholehearted prayers. He was thinking of Krishna when he passed away. So that brings in the interesting question, well, why did he have to take another birth? And our acharyas have addressed this question, and he took his next birth as Jagavarat. And they addressed this question, why did he have to take another birth in a difficult circumstance? And the answer that they give is that he wasn't in a difficult circumstance. He was with Krishna. Otherwise, how would it have been possible for him to be so detached? You can't become detached from matter unless you are holding so tightly something so wonderful, you won't be able to give, you won't be care about anything else. It's only by the positive, being fully focused in the positive, is the everything negative negligible. So it is because Jagbhat was so focused on Krishna when they were about to kill him and sacrifice him to Kali, but the Kali, his mood was anyway, because he was with Krishna. So Krishna did stay with him, and Krishna placed him in that circumstance, but never left him. And that is the result of his focus on Krishna. So I think I answered the question and went even a little more. Now I'm going to take this into my own hands. I'm going to pull out a very mystical question now. Yes, this is it. How to associate with devotees and at the same time avoid Vaishnava Aparad, from Satya. And the person who shall answer this question, I'm going to ask one person and then I'm going to ask other people too. Very important question: how to associate with devotees and avoid at the same time aparat, because this is the great danger of association of devotees, is just this: see the same person every day and you just take them for granted and you start seeing only the faults. Who is Annie? Oh, hello Annie. Could you answer that question, please? Yes, yes, thank you very much. Yeah, no, how to associate with devotees in a proper way and avoid Vaishnava aparat. I'll also ask other devotees too after you. So, how long have you been chanting? How long? 1 year. Okay. So this is a very important question, and it's very interesting for me to hear your answer too. I'm very interested to hear what is your realization of how to live in an ashram, the Brahmacharini ashram? Yeah. And appreciate the devotees and live there and gain the benefit of the association with devotees without offending them and fighting all the time, etc. Yeah. Please.
One thing that might be helpful is to treat everyone equally. Like in the sense of seeing everyone helping you in your Krishna consciousness, like even if it might seem like they're dishonoring you, or like it might not be something that seems like it's helping you, it can be. Cause,
yeah. In other words, Krishna has something to teach you through that person.
Yeah, very much.
And so. See that person as Krishna's instrument.
Yes. Yeah, and that other people are on different paths towards Krishna as well. So someone like might have weaknesses in spots that you don't have, and you might have weaknesses in other spots. Someone told me when I came to the temple first to not be disheartened when everyone doesn't seem as pure as what they do initially when you come to the temple. And that's because everyone is kind of on a different path.
What do you mean by on a different path?
Like that everyone comes from different material backgrounds, and we've all got different karma, and I guess like everyone has a different situation, material situation, so kind of removing the binds of materialism is going to be different for everyone. So to remember that is helpful, I guess.
And what other good advice did you get that really was helpful for you when you moved into the ashram? What other advice did you find helpful for you? That's very nice advice.
Another thing that was really helpful was to just really prioritize attending the morning program and chanting Hare Krishna, and the other two other things that might happen. Like everything, if you get that right and serving other devotees and engaging in serving Krishna, then everything else will follow. But they're the main things to focus on.
That gives us a spiritual strength to be able to deal with all the rest in proper perspective.
Yes.
Very nice. Anything else that advice you got that you could share with us that would be helpful, that you think may be helpful?
They're the two things that really stuck with me.
Okay. To seek, I'm translating into my own words a little bit, but you can correct me if I don't get it right. To see that you said the equality of the other people's dealing with you, meaning that Krishna is working through them equally, and he has something for you of value through all the dealings. And the second one was to see the different paths, that everyone don't try to this person's better than this person's better than that, and I'm here and they're there. To see the individuality of the paths of people going to Krishna, and we're all going towards the same thing. And the third point was to make your sadhana very strong, your the Mangalarti morning program, japa very strong, and that helps you have the presence of mind to be able to do the difficult tasks of these other principles that you mentioned. Keep them in perspective. How did I do in summarizing?
Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Nice answer. I'm not going to ask any more opinions about that one, because I'm going to go, because it was a very nice answer too. And another question: If a peaceful sound occurs during mantra, is it advisable to concentrate on it? Now, I'm not sure what the devotee who asked this question means exactly. If a peaceful sound, like a peacock or... Uh-huh? Yeah, Chennai. Isn't that the capital of Tamil Nadu? So if the person who asked this question wishes to clarify a little bit, you mean like a Chennai sound or a peacock sound or the sounds of
something wrong beyond sound.
So while you're chanting, something comes, like some other sound vibration comes up from your consciousness.
I just become aware of it.
Yeah. Were you chanting at that time?
Yeah, just before I was doing the thing.
Yeah, how nice. Well, it would probably depend on what's... The way I would answer this question is, the basic principle is while you're chanting, just concentrate on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And don't resist its other sounds so much, but just go back to the focus on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And if other peaceful sounds come while you're not chanting, sometimes we have to turn our iPods lower, the volume down lower or something like that, and so we'll take out the earplugs so we don't hear them, the peaceful sounds or the sweet sounds, or what we want to do is fully focus on our relationship with Krishna in a serving mood. So if a peaceful sound helps us do that, if it helps us chant better, then fine. If it ultimately turns into a distraction, then neglect it. Because peace isn't the ultimate. Peace isn't the ultimate. The ultimate is love for Krishna. And the reality is that peace can never be ours in this world fully. But on the other side, unless our mind is peaceful, it's so hard to chant. So sometimes, and this is basically what we're trying to do, is we want to set up a peaceful, simple life so that we can focus on what is really important. And peace is born out of the mode of goodness. So we try to set up our life as much as we practically can in the mode of goodness, and avoid the modes of passion and avoid the mode of ignorance as much as possible, so that our consciousness will be peaceful enough so that we can actually focus on Krishna and Krishna's service and keep our life aligned with the purpose of our life, which is to develop love for Krishna. And sometimes, though, the peaceful things can become a distraction. Or if we think of peace as the goal. But peace and all the elements of the mode of goodness are very helpful for progressively proceeding towards service to Krishna's lotus feet. Is that all right? Or okay.
I think I'll focus on the mantra.
Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Another question. D- does Lord Krishna's power, his shakti, or tira nature, or they homogeneous and equal potent and non-different up to him? Kripa shakti is superior to other shaktis. If yes, why? Please help to understand. Well, they have, well, just like the government, I'm not sure who asked this question. It's someone by the name of Hare Krishna Maharaj. In other words, that all the shaktis equal, and if they're not, why aren't they equal? That's basically because we mentioned yesterday, I hope I got the fact exactly correct, but Krishna Kripa Shakti is supreme. Because, and someone else asked me this after the class in a bit of a different way. The Krishna Shakti that's most supreme is Ladini Shakti. And that is ultimately Srimati Radharani. So that's the supreme Shakti of the Lord. And there are different worshippers in India. There are so many Shaktas. And the Shaktas are usually worshippers of Lord Shiva, but it is actually the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani that are the most pure and highest Shaktas, actually. But yes, there is a gradation of Shaktis. Krishna has so many powers, he has unlimited potencies, unlimited potencies. So potencies perform specific functions, and some functions are more prime to Krishna, more essential to Krishna, more intimate with him than others. That's naturally, just like in a government, the governor or the president or prime minister has so many energies and potencies and shaktis. So many departments, and one can say. So certain departments are more dear to him than others. And Krishna even has his Maya Shakti. So that Shakti has a very important function. And then there's the Shaktis that take care of the weather. And there's the Shaktis who give knowledge. And the Shaktis who give this and that. So the most, just naturally, more certain Shaktis are more close to him and more intimately related with his pastimes. Even the Shaktis that deal with the material world are secondary Shaktis, we could say, or they don't come from him. They're Shaktis of his Shaktis, so to speak. But the most intimate Shakti is Srimati Radharani, and in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada, because that's his pleasure given Shakti. So in one lecture in London, Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani is his compassion, Krishna's compassion. So if you want to offer something to Krishna, don't do it directly. Offer the flower to the hand of Srimati Radharani and say, please give this to your Krishna. And then Prabhupada explained that Srimati Radharani's mood is, oh, this devotee Krishna is a much better devotee than me, is giving you this flower. Please give your mercy to this devotee. So there's such a connection between Krishna's most intimate Ladini Shakti and compassion or mercy. So therefore that principle is intact. I think that's the best I can do is why one Shakti is more intimately related with Krishna or primary or more powerful than another. It's just naturally like that. The ones that are most close to him and more required for his internal pastimes. I think that's the best I can do with that question. Anyone else like to add anything? Okay. This will be the last question. Yesterday, you were mentioning about being determined in our chanting. But how do we develop the desire to become determined? Sometimes there is no desire to become, only to become determined. So if we desire to become determined, we act in such a way that our determination will develop. There's a person who's very determined and focused, then there's a person below that who isn't as determined but desires to become more determined, and then there's a person below that who's not determined and doesn't desire to be determined. So the person who is this question is seems like it's addressing the person who isn't very determined but would like to become more determined. So what do we do if we want to become more determined? Associate with devotees, we chant Krishna's names, try to become more serious in our chanting, do it properly, follow the system, the process properly. Key is association. Association, we could say, is everything. We read the Shastra too. We read Srimad Bhagavatam, we read Bhagavad Gita. We study these books, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the association of devotees. And from that, according to Shastra, our faith increases. Very often our determination isn't strong because our faith isn't strong. Faith in the positive and faith in the negative. Faith in the positive means that if I'm with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, this is exactly what I want. This will bring full satisfaction, that it's true. That it's true. And faith in the negative is that we have faith and trust that there is no situation in the material world, regardless of what it is, that is going to bring satisfaction to me, the soul. Because sometimes we think that, you know, the if only syndrome, if only this, I had this, then I'd be happy. If only I had that, if only I had this, if only I had that, if only if this, if I had, when I was young, for me, one of the things was if only I could, if I had straight and sort of blondish hair, then I would be happy. And now it's if only if I had some hair. And it's always changing, where our hope in the material, the hope for material, and this is what specifically carries us through the 8,400,000 species of life, the hope that in this species, if only, you know, I've been a hang glider for so long now, and the problem with hang gliding is that you have to come down to the ground every now and then. So if only I could, did anyone ever watch hawks, observe hawks? HAW, in Vrindavan, I spent a lot of time watching. They just float on the air, and with the slightest movement of their tail feathers, they catch the wind currents. Now that is a hang glider's dream. Do you want to be a hawk? You think that's going to make you happy? Well, okay, Krishna says, okay, then be a hawk. Or be a billionaire, or be unlimitedly beautiful, or have the perfect house, or have the perfect family, or have the perfect parents. All the things in our life that we didn't get, all our frustrations, all our frustrations. I couldn't sing properly, I couldn't, no musical ability, can't learn Sanskrit. All the things that I didn't have in this life that I thought, if only I had them, then I'd be happy. And if we don't have sufficient faith that there is no situation in the material world, regardless of what it is, I won't be happy with that. So then we won't become determined unless we have that kind of faith too. So what we want to come to the point of just accepting, get to the real point, there's only one thing that's going to make, to bring satisfaction to the soul, to me, is that when I'm in my actual position in loving service to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So how to gain, then we're very determined. Sometimes we have to touch the fire to become determined not to touch it again. Sometimes we have to make our efforts driven by the different modes of material nature and our different conditionings to learn the simple lesson that there is no situation in the material world will make me happy and satisfy me. To learn the simple lesson that Krishna is all powerful and all merciful, and that his shelter and love for him is what I am longing for. And as Prabhupada said, for a fortunate person, this can take one moment to just come to this conclusion and live it. So how to get increase our determination? Good association is the simple key, because that increases our faith, our realization. And good association is the gift, a gift of Krishna. It's a gift of Krishna, and we tend to take it very lightly. We tend to take it lightly, but it is a gift of Krishna. It is the greatest gift of Krishna, practically speaking. Now it is time for prasadam. Spoken like a true second generation ex-guru Kula boy. Jai! Okay, so let us take prasadam. Thank you very much. Now what should we do with all these wonderful questions? I should pass them out to everyone and you can answer them. Very relevant questions, very important questions, all of them. And thank you very much for them. And thank you for your good answers too. So let's take prasadam, and then what time do we convene again for our final meeting? 10:30. It says, yes? 10:30, because that gives everyone time to pack prior as well. That's what's written there, I believe. Oh yes, thank you. That we have most of what we spoke about in the japa classes that we give are in this book that I put together, plus so much more as well. So if anyone wants one, I think there'll be a table outside after. It's already set up, and then I'll sign them too. But I won't write long letters or messages, but I'll only sign them, because otherwise anyway, you understand. And also there's wonderful pictures, photographs of Sri Vrindavan Dham that Keshav Vu and Veda Priya have for everyone. They're really, really nice. Giriraj Govardhan, and this one I don't recognize, this one I recognize very well. Siddhabakul. Where is this one? Go have a look at it. I'd like to know where it is. And here's Barshana, and here's Siddhabakul in Puri, and here's Vangsivat, and we're going to do it in a very mystical way too. We're going to put them, when you come up, we're going to do it like this. You're going to take one, you're going to get the exact one that's meant for you, and if you want, you can trade it with your friend if you don't like your fate. but we'll do that When should we do that, Kesa? Where's Kesa? He took his picture and left. Probably went to Braja. Where is it?
Tirukudumbu.
Oh. So when should we give these out? Should we give them out now? No, the final meeting we'll give them out.
Yeah, it might be wrong. Also maybe around the time we signed it.
Yeah, okay, at the final time. Okay. Let's take Prasadam. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.